Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hey, it's Super Bowl Sunday, and we had some fun today. Thanks everybody who wore your jerseys, your team colors, and all that fun stuff. We always like to see what's happening and who's rooting for who. And so today is Super Bowl Sunday. It's also the last day of the fair, so make your choice, right? But you made a good choice coming to church this morning. All right, so we have the Rams and the Patriots are playing today. So how many Rams fans do we have? Rams fans. All right, all right. How many Patriots fans? All right. I'll tell you, these Patriot fans, they're serious, though. It's serious business. And so we're going to have a little fun giveaway tonight, today, after when we end service. Just give you some snack money. How many need snack money for watching the game, right? Oh, yeah. And I forgot to ask, how many are just there to watch the commercials? That's me. I'm just there to cook and watch the commercials. That's about it. But it's going to be a fun day and awesome coming to church. I got a great, today's Super Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Every Sunday is a Super Sunday, and so I just want to make a small disclaimer. I was getting ready to start a whole new series today. We had talked about it at our staff retreat. You know, okay, you're going to start the series this day. Okay, okay. So then I came in today, I told all, I'm not doing that. They love when I do that. And so, but anyway, the Lord just had a different message, so we're going a totally different way today. And for who just really, really dislikes Tom Brady? All right, listen. Anthony's watching you. Listen to me. Linda, listen. All right. My message today was inspired by Tom Brady. So I see you give me the evil eye. I see that. I just want to encourage you, regardless of your feelings towards Tom Brady, you need to still listen because it's a good message. All right? The message is inspired by one of his quotes, which it's not like I know a whole bunch of Tom Brady quotes. You know, I don't, but I do know this one because 2 years ago at the Super Bowl, the Patriots were there again, and they won again, and Tom Brady was the quarterback again. But anyway, at that particular game in 2017, it was an amazing game. Regardless of your feelings towards the Patriots, Tom Brady, you got to give the guy credit for what happened because, and those of you who don't know anything about football, but I don't really know that much, but I like the news. And so I read the story, and it just stuck with me, something that he said. He said this, he told his team this when they were down, what was it, 28-3. No team had ever come back from that much of a deficit in a Super Bowl and won. It had never happened before. And so he's down that many points. Nothing seems to be going well. It looks like they're going to lose. But Tom Brady is, they said it on the news, he's pacing up and down. He's encouraging his team. He's telling them what needs to happen. They go into the halftime. They go into the locker room. They're at the biggest deficit. No team had ever come back from this. And they said that usually Super Bowl scores are lopsided because what happens once it gets to that point, a team can't come back because of the mental game, not so much the physical game. So they go into the locker room, they're down the biggest amount of points ever, and he tells them this. He said, we need to, and he gives all these football terms that most of us don't know. He said, we need to do this, this, and this, and we will win. And then he said this. And this is what I want you to get today. It doesn't matter who said it. The point is, it's a truth. He said, trust the process. Trust the process. He said, if we do this, 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 and this, we will win. Take it one play at a time. One play at a time and trust the process. And ever since I read that, and those who know me, you know I say that now. I took it as my own. Tom who, right? And so, because so often as believers, we check out of the process of God instead of trusting it. So often as believers, we get to a certain point with our walk with God, or we get to that point where it starts to hurt just a little bit, where the Lord's saying, hey, I need you to go to this next level, or I need you to lay something down. I need, you know, and we're pushing through to the next level. We're pushing through for the victory, and it gets uncomfortable, or people are saying that's never going to happen, or maybe you've had loss, and there's just a loss in your life, and you're saying nobody's ever come back from this. Nobody's ever come back from this shame, or nobody's ever come back from this failure, or nobody's ever come back and had victory once this happened to them. But you know what? We need to learn from Tom Brady that you can come back from anything. And if he can have that much faith in a football game, how much more faith can we have in God, the Jehovah Jireh? Amen? El Shaddai. So Tom Brady is telling his team, he's saying, trust the process. Just take it one play at a time. Go for it. Never say you're out. And I want to encourage us today, let's learn from that. Let's apply it to our walk with God, and let's trust the process of God. Let's trust that God knows what he's doing. Let's trust that God is at work in our lives. We have a promise from God. He says he's at work in us. Let's trust that his word works. Amen? We just finished our 21 days of prayer and fasting. We had an amazing amount of people doing 21 days of devotion every day. We gathered together, we online and in person, and we did these, and it was amazing. And so many of us, we laid some things down during our 21 days. We prayed every day, and now it's like we're back and we're 1 week out, and it's like, be careful that you don't let all that junk fill back up. Let's trust the process of God. And so in the last few weeks, we've been talking about what it takes. And last week, and I know I'm not going to preach the whole message again, but I gave three things. Man, if you do these three things, you will keep moving towards breakthrough in your life. We declared, God spoke to us in a supernatural Holy Ghost church service, that this was a year of breakthrough for us. Did he not? Did he not say that? And let's not lose that. We said together as a church, we were going to be more on fire in December than we were in January. Because isn't that what happens? We're like, January, we do our 21 days, and then we just gradually till we're like crawling into December. We declared, not this year. Not this year. We're going to push. We're going to have our foot on the gas. All year long. Time is too short to take your foot off the gas. You know, if Tom Brady can do that for a football game, and you know what? There's another one today. Listen, you only have one life. There's no replay in your life. You got one life. And we're going to stand before Jesus Christ himself, and we're going to give account for it. And that's something we need to remind ourselves of. And so it's not time to be like, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, I'll get back on it. No, let's stay on it. I'm talking to myself. I'm going to hold a mirror up to myself. I'm talking to me. Let's stay on it. Because if he can be that motivated for a football game, shouldn't we be that motivated for transforming lives and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. I mean, something that's eternal, not something that's repeated every year. And so I said three things. We talked about these last week. And so just real quick, for those of you guys who weren't here, three things to really push through and say, you want that breakthrough? You want to get where God has for you to be? You got dreams on the inside of you? Man, I do. We got to do these three things, and we got to keep our foot on the gas. Number one, always put God first in your life. Last week we said a word that we don't say a lot. It's not a word that's used a lot in our culture, because it's kind of a weird word. When you say this word, people are like, that's weird. But it's a powerful word. It's a word that we've got to keep. We've got to remind ourselves. And that is, when we put anything or anyone above God in our life, it becomes an idol in our life. And so that means that we are involved in
idolatry.
We have this idea that in order for idolatry to be part of our lives, we have to be sitting with our legs crossed with, you know, doing something weird. Or have a weird little statue in our house. No, it just means something or someone is above God. And so we need to put God first. You know, God brought us out of some things. I've had people calling me, texting me, telling me, hey, I've had this many days, or, God's done this in my life in our 21 days of prayer and fasting, because God moved in those 21 days. But I got news for you. He's not done moving. Amen. Amen. God's not done moving. And so many, myself too, just man, some things happen. We said breakthrough. We got to remember sometimes breakthrough isn't something on the outside. We need to break through on the inside. Things need to break on the inside. And so some things, some ideas, some hurts, some wounds and things like that, we let God have them, and God did what God does. And so now we've had breakthrough. And so when the children of Israel had breakthrough, when they were brought out of the land of Egypt, when they were brought out of slavery, God said something to them in Exodus. He said, okay, I brought you out. He said, don't have any other gods before me. You want to keep coming out? You want to stay out? How many want to stay out? I want to stay out of some stuff God's freed me from. I want to stay out. In order to stay out, in order to keep that breakthrough, in order to keep going to the next level, in order to keep moving towards God, you got to make sure there is nothing that's above him. Nothing's above him. And no one. No one. And that's easier spoken than done. It's easy to say. It's easy to say. But here's what we do. You say, well, I don't put anything before God. You know what? When things like Facebook and things like social media and things like TV and movies and people and culture and ideas other people have a bigger role in our life than God does, then we are not making God first. And that's hard. That's hard. Because, even for me, I'll be really honest with you. The 21 days, we were no TV, no movies, no anything. No social media. And man, when those 21, when that day was over, it was like, where's the remote? Where is the remote? I mean, just honest. But you know what? We both said, we're like, man, we can't let this come in like a flood, because you know what? God's a filler, not a forcer. We learned that in our devotional, didn't we? God's a filler, not a forcer. If you don't make room for God to fill you, he won't force it. And so now that we've laid a bunch of stuff aside and God has brought us through some things and we've made some big change, big decisions, don't let all that other stuff fill you back up. We need to keep letting God fill us. Amen. Amen? We need to keep God on the throne of our heart. Who's the king of your heart? Amen? Amen. Who's the king of your heart? And that's something, you know what? Our heart wanders. It wanders. It gets distracted, and it goes all over, and we put all of our focus and all of our attention and our energy on stuff. And next thing you know, we're like, man, what happened? I was so on fire. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that in my office. Somebody sit across, and they'll be like, man, Pastor, I was so on fire at this point. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. You put your focus on something else. That's how it happened. It happens to all of us. And so we got to be aware, and we got to be wise, and we got to keep going and saying, no, Jesus is the king of my heart. If you pray with me in the mornings, man, you hear me. I say that. I say, Lord, I set my heart on you today. I declare today that you are my first love. Holy Spirit, show me anything that has gotten above you. Show me if I'm being moved by opinions, moved by the faces of men, moved by culture, because I only want to be moved by you. Man, I speak that over myself, and I got to speak it over myself every day. And you know what? The Holy Ghost will rise up and it'll say, well, you ask. You ask, he'll tell you. Because he's your helper. He wants to help you. And so the number one thing we said was, always put God first in every area of our life. You say, how do I do that? It's action. It's not just words. We put God first. You're here today. You put God first. You put God first. You're giving God this time. All of us have somewhere else we could be. We all do, but you're here. You're here. When you tithe today, you're putting God first. The Bible tells us, I shared this with you last week, the purpose of tithing. And those of you who got an attitude about tithing, you need to read the Word. Because the purpose of tithing, the Bible very clearly says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first. God doesn't need your money. And you know what I told you? I said, your tithe is not going to make or break us, because God's our source. But your tithe will make or break you, because it teaches you to put God first. That's its point. So how do I put God first? I put God first in my time, in my passion, in my finances, in my attention. God is first. We can train ourselves to every morning, instead of reaching for our phone and going on Facebook, going on the news, check and see what's happening, to put that down and say good morning to the Lord. Thank you, Father, that this is another day. Lord, I set my heart on you. I honor you today. You start doing that, what are we doing? We're changing our priorities. We're putting God first. The second thing we talked about, three things. Second thing was, say no to your flesh. We've been talking the last few weeks about how Paul wrote, and he said, I want to do the right thing, but man, this battle within me. And I end up doing the wrong thing. And you know what? That's all of us. Don't beat yourself up if that's you, because you know what? It's all of us. There's all of us have that battle. Every one of us. But you know what? We need to win that battle more than we lose it. We need to win it more than we lose it. So we need to learn to say no to ourselves. And that's why I told you guys last week, you know what? We just did 21 days of fasting. And but whether you fasted social media, you fasted some food items, whatever, you told yourself no. Don't wait till next year to do it again. Because you know what happens? You know, your flesh is a toddler. It wants its way all the time. Isn't that what toddlers do? They want their way. And you can tell when a toddler's never been told no before. How many have seen that in the store? You can tell. That kid don't know what no means. We need to tell ourselves no. So don't wait till next year to tell yourself no on some stuff. It needs to be a practice in our life. We need to just tell ourselves. You know, Brother Hagin, I remember him saying that he loved root beer. He loved root beer. But he would drink it, and then he would go a long time without drinking it. And so someone asked him, they said, well, why don't you drink it? It's not a sin to drink it. He goes, it's not a sin to drink it, but I don't want anything to have me. I don't want anything to be the boss of me. Amen. And he said, so I drink it when I say I drink it, not every time I want it. And I thought, man, that's a small truth, but you know what? He lived an amazing life for the Lord. And sometimes it's those small no's that help you say the big no. If you can't say no in the small things, you can't say no in the big things. So train yourself. No. No. Put some boundaries on yourself. Amen? Put some boundaries. If you're single in here, put a boundary on yourself. I don't date people that aren't as on fire for the Lord as me. I just don't do it. So then when the temptation comes, you're already used to saying no. And there's no mental gymnastics going on convincing you that it's okay. You've already said that's a no. And you know what no means. So it's little things like that that help you say no to the big things. So we got to say no to ourselves. The Bible tells us over here in Romans chapter 6, this is Paul writing, he says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Listen, one part of you is going to be the boss of you. There's three parts to us. We live in a body. We have a soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, and we are a spirit. And Paul's saying, listen, don't let your mortal body, don't let this flesh part of you, the part of me that wants to eat Reese cups all the time, the part of us that wants to tell people off, the part of us that wants to give people the one finger wave in traffic, that part of us. You know you got that part of you. It said, don't let that part of you reign. Don't let it be the boss of you. Because when you let that part be the boss of you, the Bible says it leads to death. And so he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but, say that with me, but rather offer yourselves to God. For sin shall not be your master. We talked about addiction last week. An addiction is anything you say you're not going to do anymore and you keep doing. That's an addiction. Whether it's pornography, whether it's just TV, whether it's root beer, whatever it is. We need to have control. And we need to be able to say no. No. Because you can't say no in little stuff, you're not going to be able to say no in big stuff. And Paul said, don't let that part of you be the boss. Let's be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Let's let our spirit man be the boss. And it's, when we say no to something, whatever you starve, it eventually dies. The more you say no in an area, you're going to get victory, and you're going to get stronger, and it's going to get easier. You say no to it. And then lastly, we said, let's go all in with Jesus. Let's let this year be the year that we went all in. That we didn't play hokey pokey with the Lord. We weren't showing up for church half the time and out wherever the rest of the time. We were all in. We're all in. Man, I know what it's like to have one foot in and one foot out. I live that life. You will never have the life you're looking for when you're half in anything. You can't enjoy the world because you got too much of the Lord in you. And you can't enjoy church because you got too much of the world in you. So you're just miserable. Man, I've been that person. Let's just go all in for the Lord. We've got nothing good to lose. Let's just think about it. What? Because, you know, so often we're like, oh, you know, we don't say these things out loud, but they're lies we live by. I don't want to go all in because if I do, then I won't be able to blank. Right? Isn't that what we tell ourselves? I don't want to go all in. Or we're sanctimonious. We say, well, I don't want to go in because, you know, people are so hypocritical. What do people have to do with your relationship with God? Nothing. Nothing. We have nothing good to lose and everything great to gain. Everything great to gain. And you know what? You don't know what it's like to live all in for the Lord until you do it. You might as well try it. You might as well. You know, you got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let's go all in. And what is it you say? What does that mean? All in. Where God's part of my everyday, not just my Sunday. Where Jesus is the king of my heart. Before I make a decision, I find out what the Word says about it. There are some things you don't have to pray about. I don't have to pray about whether to steal. I don't have to pray about having an affair. Single people, you really don't have to pray about dating someone who's not a believer. It's already in the Word. I don't know why we're camped there today. Somebody needs to hear that. It's already in the Word. I don't need to pray about it. God already said it. And see, that's going all in. I'm just going to go all in. I'm going to give what God says to give. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to be at church. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to grow. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm just going to go all in. I want to make Jesus. And people might leave you, but let them leave. Let them leave. You got Jesus to gain. I'll tell you, a life full of Jesus is better than a life full of friends who won't stand with you. Amen. Amen. If a friend can't respect your life with Jesus, they're not much of a friend. They're not much of a friend. I have friends in my life, they're friends. And they're not believers. They're not my close companions, but they honor my life with the Lord. And so we've been able to remain friends. I don't call them for advice because we don't speak the same language. I speak the language of faith. And so if I need advice, I want somebody who speaks my language. Amen? I want somebody who speaks my language. And so let's go all in. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, this is a great scripture to write down, keep somewhere where you see it. He says, fix your attention. This is Paul writing again. Fix your attention on God. You want to go all in with Jesus? Fix your attention on the Lord. You'll be changed from the inside out. Listen to this next line. I love this. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Man, whatever God tells us to do, let's do it. If he says talk to your coworker, let's talk to him. If he says talk to the cashier at Publix, let's talk to her. If he says forgive somebody, which he already did, let's do it. If he says give something, let's do it. If he says read a book, let's read the book. If he says go to Wednesday night service, let's go to Wednesday night service. Whatever he tells you to do, let's do it. That's what it means to be all in. We want all, if we want all, you know, all the blessings of God, man, we better go all in. Amen? He says, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. That's the kind of change that lasts. The change that comes from the inside and goes out. That's why just trying to change habits isn't gonna help you that much. But when you change your relationship with God and make it stronger, it changes everything. Changes everything from the inside out. He said, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Look at this next line out here. God brings the best out of you. That's a different translation. God brings the best out of you. It's the message. Man, I want the best out of me. How about you? There's so much potential in this room. There are so many amazing things God wants to do through every single one of us, but we've convinced ourselves, no, not me. I can't come back from this. It's never going to happen. Maybe you're at the halftime of your life. You know, I'm at halftime in my life. I'm 51 years old. And the enemy's trying to lie to me and say, you're too old. They're at the halftime. You're not going to have the things that God said you were. It's not going to happen because it's too late. If Tom Brady can have faith in a halftime Super Bowl, I can have faith in my God at my halftime. How about you? I'm not going to listen to the enemy's lies. I'm not going to listen to him lie to me and tell me that I'm too anything because God is bigger. God brings the best out of us. But we got to put our attention on him. We got to listen to what he tells us to do, and let's do it. That's what it means to be all in. You know what? But today, we're saying trust the process. Trust the process. We got to trust that when we put God first, when we say no to our flesh, we're saying yes to God. And we go all in. God's going to do his part. You know, there was a time, and even in that football game, everybody thought they were going to lose because no team in all of football history had come back from that much of a loss in a Super Bowl. It didn't look good. People left the stadium. It didn't look like they were going to win. Maybe some people have left your life because they didn't think you were going to win. It's our chance to show them, I can come back from this. I can come back from this. I can come back from this. Amen? Because God's a way maker. God's a way. I mean, we saw that in a football game. But if you'll trust the process, we'll see that in our lives. And so it may look like you're losing. Maybe you're at halftime, and it looks like you're losing. But think about this. Do you ever think about how much God lost? He lost Lucifer. Lucifer turned on him. He was the angel of worship. He was the most popular, most powerful angel. And he turned on God. And he wanted the attention for himself. And so then God kicked him out of heaven with a bolt of lightning. Never forget, God just kicked him out. It was a battle, but it was won quickly. Then he loses one-third of the angels. Go with him. That's loss. Maybe some people have left you. Then he creates two people and they both screw up. That's 100% loss. Maybe you're here today and you got two kids and they're both screwed up. There's still hope. Amen? There's still hope. Don't give up hope. Because both of God's kids screwed up. And he made them. And then because he had given them the ownership and the rights of the earth, when they screwed up, he lost the earth too. You ever think about that? That's a lot of loss. Didn't look good for God. But God turned it all around. And you know how he did it? The same way you're going to turn it all around. He gave. He gave Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He got back his people through giving. God showed us that the biggest weapon to break a losing streak. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I'm on a losing streak. So is God. And God showed us how to break a losing streak. He showed us how to break it. You break a losing streak through the law of seed time and harvest. You plant a seed. And, you know, and we're like, every time we think of planting seeds, we think of money. There are so many other seeds to plant. Jesus was a seed. He was the first son, the first fruit. He was given. And look at all of us. We are the harvest. We are the harvest. And so when we think about this, and I want you to just think about the process, seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. Trust the process. It works. A pastor that I know said this statement, and it just stuck with me. He said he was praying about his marriage. His marriage was going through a very difficult time, and how many of us have been married a long time? You know that happens. And he was doing, what do you pray? And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, why are you looking for trees when you've never planted seeds? Some of the things we're looking for aren't going to just show up. We've got to plant seeds for them. And when we plant the seed, we can expect the harvest, but we have to trust the process. You need to plant seeds in your marriage. You need to plant seeds in your finances. You need to plant seeds in your life. You need to plant seeds in your soul. So many people, your soul is so goofed up. You're emotionally damaged. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Life happens and life hurts and pain comes and it messes us up emotionally. And next thing you know, we're goofed up. We're living on lies that aren't true. We're living by things that aren't even true. And we're just giving to everybody. So then, but really you need to sow into you. You're not taking care of you. And so you have no harvest in you. There's no trees in you. There's no health or growth in you because you're constantly sowing everywhere else. You got to plant in you, Mom. You got to plant in you. It's one of the things pastors do all the time. We're always planting in other people. We don't plant in ourselves. And then next thing you know, you're burnt out. You're burnt out and you can't function anymore. So today I want you to look at your life. I want you to look at it like it's a pot with plants in it. And there's a pot for your family and a pot for your job, your career. There's a pot for your health. There's a pot for your soul. And I want you to say, man, how's it look? Is there anything growing there? Or is it just weeds? And the really good thing about weeds is they have weak roots. And if you see a bunch of weeds there, what do? Pull them up. Pull them up and toss them out. And then plant. You know how you're going to get stronger in December spiritually is if you plant today. Every time you do a devotional, you're sowing seed in yourself. Every time you speak the Ephesian prayers over yourself, you're sowing seed in yourself. When you say your confessions, you're sowing seed in yourself. And so then in March and April and May, we're gonna start seeing some fruit because we started planting today. We need to sow the seeds because that's how you break a losing streak. God showed us that. You want to break a losing streak? Start sowing seeds. Because the Bible tells us over in Genesis, let me get my note here. In Genesis, it tells us, Genesis chapter 8, verse number 22, listen, it says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. What's God saying? He's saying, I don't care how crazy the world gets. I don't care who's in office. I don't care what's shut down. God's saying, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will be in effect. So you may not be able to count on people. You may not be able to count on government. You may not be able to count on finances or the economy, but you can count on God.
Yes.
Amen. He said, if you plant a seed, it will grow. It will grow. And then over, I want you to turn your Bibles over here because it's such a powerful portion of scripture. In Mark 4:26, we're going to trust the process. Trust the process. Let's not stop sowing. And let's start sowing in the areas we need to sow into. Listen, you need to sow into your marriage. You need to sow into your family. You need to sow into your children. You need to sow into those crazy relatives we have. We got to sow into them. Amen? We got to keep planting seeds in them. Why? Because if we're expecting a harvest, you better have some seeds. How crazy would it be if a farmer never planted any seeds but then walked out every day looking for a harvest? We'd be like, what are you looking for? There's nothing in the ground. There's nothing there. It's just like the Lord spoke to that pastor and said, you're looking for trees. You never planted any seeds. What you're looking for, you better plant. And so Jesus said this. It's so good. Mark 4:26. He said, well, actually, jump down to verse number 30. Let's start there. Mark 4:30. Jump down to verse number 30. He said, again, he says, Jesus, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? How many want to know what the kingdom of God is like? Another translation, Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? How can I describe the kingdom of God? Aren't we all confessing Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so here's Jesus telling us what it is. He said, how do I describe the kingdom of God? And then he says, what story should I use to illustrate it? And because, you know, God speaks to us in ways we can understand things. And he says, it is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches and birds can make nests in its shade. He said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? That God can take something small and when it's planted, it can turn into something big. That God can bring you your comeback. That God can have you come back from anything. Because God can do the impossible. Do you know that scientists still can't figure out how to make a seed grow? They just know it grows. They study what it does. They can't make it do that. They study what it does because God makes it. God makes it grow. Over here in verse number 26, just bump up a little bit. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. Look, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle. For the harvest time has come. He says, how can I describe the kingdom of God? But what I want us to see here is this is where we don't trust the process. Because when it comes time to sow, our focus is on other things. I'll tell you a story. Years ago, I was at Applebee's. That's how long it is, because I don't like Applebee's at all. And so I was at Applebee's, and I was meeting with this young girl. She was married. She had two little kids. And she doesn't go to church here, I promise, so don't look around. And so I was meeting with her, and she was telling me, oh, you know, my marriage is so bad, and none of my needs are being met, and my husband doesn't do anything, and I just don't, you know, it's all about her needs not being met. And so I listened, and then I said to her, and I've said this to many people, and maybe you're here today, and I've said it to you. I said, listen, if you'll do what I tell you to do from the Word of God, I can guarantee it'll change your marriage. And she said, how can you guarantee it? I said, because it's the Word of God, and you got God's guarantee on it. And so I said to her, I said, if you'll sow means to toss. Just like a farmer, when he has seeds in his hands, what does he do? Puts them in the ground. I said, if you'll sow into your husband, you'll speak his love language. You'll look for ways to bless him, to honor him. You'll sow into him with no regard of yourself. Your marriage will change. And she said, what about me? What about my needs? And I said, your needs will be met. But you got to sow needs met first. Because you sow, then you reap. I said, so if you'll sow it, you've got God's promise, you'll reap it. God's promise. Oh, but my husband, no. It has nothing to do with your husband. It has everything to do with God. If you'll sow it, God promises what you sow, you reap. So you can't sow lemon seeds and expect to get apples. If you sow something sour, what are you going to get? Something sour. So if all you got sour, you might want to check your seeds. And so I told her that, and I said, I'm telling you, this is a guarantee. I go, this isn't just something I read in a book somewhere. This is something I've learned. It's something I've lived. Because in every marriage, you go through a time where you're the sower. And don't ever think you're the only sower. Your spouse is sowing too if you're still together, happily. There's no such thing as a one person being unhappy in a marriage. That doesn't happen. If you're unhappy, shock and amazement, so is your spouse. That's just how it works. And so I told her, I said, listen, I know this works. I know it does because my husband has sown into me and I've sown into him and we've gone through things and we've come out of it and God works and sowing works. So I tell her that. I show her all the scriptures in the Bible. I tell her, I'm like, I guarantee it. Just give it a couple of weeks. Give it a month. You can have, you know, I always tell people when you're in a rough marriage, you can have a short time where you put yourself aside and put your marriage first and you say, man, I'm going to sow into this. I'm going to do what I need to do. It can be a short time that lasts into a beautiful marriage. But so often people don't want to take that short, tough time. Just want to give up. Don't give up. It's a short time for a happy marriage. Man, I'm so thankful we didn't give up every time it got hard. We would have given up on day two or sooner probably, you know? So anyway, so I tell this girl this and she comes to me, no lie, true story, 2 weeks later. And she said, that's too hard. It doesn't work. I'm done. We're getting a divorce. And you know what? They did. They did. And it was sad and it was hard and it was terrible and their kids and it's just a mess. That's a sad story, isn't it? Wouldn't even give it 2 weeks. What happened? She didn't trust the process. She didn't trust that when you sow, you reap. She didn't trust that God said, you don't have to know how it works. You don't have to understand it. All you got to do is plant the seed. He'll make it grow. You can sleep, whether you're asleep or you're awake, God's making that seed grow. Isn't that what the scripture said? The Bible says in Corinthians, Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You got an area in your life that's barren and sparse and nothing's growing? Plant some seeds. Don't fall for the lie that the game is over. Don't fall for the lie that you can't come back from whatever it is. Don't fall for the lie that nobody's ever done it, so it's never going to be done. You be the one to plant the seed. Plant the seed. Because you know what? There's another Tom Brady story that I really like. And it's a commercial that he did. And it's based on how he lives. And it's this, every day. Every day, that guy trains. Every day. Have you seen that commercial? Every day he trains, he says. And whether you're a Tom Brady fan or not, you got to respect that. And there's lots of other quarterbacks, they do the same thing. But you know what? He sees the results he sees because he trusts the process of training. If we want to see results, we've got to trust the process of sowing. Let's sow. How do you sow into yourself? You grow spiritually. How do you sow into your marriage? You love your spouse. How do you sow into your kids? You pray for them, you spend time with them, and you put the phone down. Amen? How do you sow into your job? You pray over it. You speak the word over it. You walk in love there. Amen? You do whatever the Lord tells you to do. You do it. If the Lord leads on your heart to take a class, take the class. Don't try to figure out why. Just do it. Because later on down the road, it's going to come. You're going to be like, oh, who took that class? And you're either going to be the one that going, man, I should have listened. Or that's how God works. When you plant the seed, he grows it. He grows it. I don't have to grow it. I just got to plant it. I got to sow it. Amen? Let's quit giving up on stuff. Quit giving up on the dream God put in your heart. Quit giving up on that family member that's not born again. Quit giving up on those kids that are far away from God. Quit giving up on things. Let's quit giving up at halftime. And let's instead remind ourselves, trust the process. God's at work. The way of God works. We have his word on it. Amen? And you know what? I know with all of us in here, many of you guys, I know you personally. And there's things you've given up on. There's things I've given up on. We've listened to the enemy. Listen, the enemy doesn't have to make you over. He just has to convince you that you are over. The enemy doesn't have to make people not hire you. He just has to make you believe that no one will. The enemy doesn't have to ruin your marriage. He just has to convince you that it's beyond repair. That's all he has to do. We got to quit listening to these lies and trust the process of God. God said, when you sow, you reap. What do you need to reap? Whatever it is, that's what you need to sow. You don't feel loved? Start loving on people. You don't feel like you have any friends? Start being friendly. You don't have any money? Start giving what you have. Amen? You got to give. That's how you break a losing streak. Let's pray together.